have a rather difficult question for us to consider this morning. I hate to bring it up this early in the morning, but I believe that we cannot avoid it. Is your faith a faith? Many people outside of the Christian faith look at the teachings of the church and think of them as a faith. Even fellow Lutherans, bringing it closer to home, look at some of the teachings of the conservative Missouri Synod and walk away saying, of course. But more than that, the problem of absurdity is foremost in our text. It is impossible to drown out Abraham's laughter. There is no way that we can try to explain away the fact that God made a promise and Abraham laughed. Well, let's think about it. Abraham and Sarah were about to celebrate their joint bicentennial. Abraham is 100, Sarah is 90, and God says Sarah is going to have a baby. That is kind of funny. And it seems incredibly incongruous that Abraham, after having a good chuckle over the absurdity of it all, would then go and solemnize that covenant with his God. I'm sure that we could come up with a quick solution. Abraham had faith. And this is precisely where the question that I asked at the beginning comes back to us again. Is faith on the absurd? Did Abraham believe because it was all so nonsensical that it had to come from God? Does God base our faith on nonsense? There is much evidence to support the premise that faith is faith on the absurd. Think back to all of the sermons you have heard coming from Lutheran pulpits, and think of how many absurd statements you have heard. Now, if you practice this, statements like "love your enemies." Another one: "grace is a free gift." How many absurd practices have you seen in our church? What sense does it really make to splash water on babies? What lunacy would ever present such a teaching as the real treasure of the Lord's Supper? And let's now cut right to the heart of the matter. The very center of all Christian absurdity is none other than Jesus Christ. With Jesus, the list is endless. Imagine God and man in one Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, perfect? That Jesus died on a cross for crimes he did not commit is not so incredible. But to claim that those crimes are our sins, to claim that death 2,000 years ago has anything to do with today, isn't that the truth? There are basically two ways that we can deal with the problem of absurdity. The first way is to force the Christian faith to make sense. Get rid of everything that's absurd. And there are a number of really good ways to do this. We could work out precise doctrinal formulations and explain away every absurdity. Another method entails logical, historically verifiable explanation, or at least historically conditioned justification for some of the more absurd teachings. Or finally, we could just manipulate the absurdity said, try to be like Abraham, you know. Try to laugh, go along with it all. Don't say much about it not making sense, but just go along to be saved. I'm sure that you saw ahead of me already. I know that you have seen all of the problems in each of these solutions that I have presented to you. Doctrinal and historical explanations, when pushed to the absurd, become an end in themselves. And on the other hand, glossing over the problem is nothing short of a sacrifice of both intellect and passion. I believe there is a better way. We must challenge the assertion that faith is based on the absurd. It is a lie. The charge that faith is absurd is nothing short of a satanic red herring. Satan pulls this charge across our path to lead us off track. That faith has some aspect which we cannot explain is evident. That faith is not based on the absurd. Faith is based on the promise of God. Speaking about Abraham, St. Paul writes, without any weakening of faith, he contemplated his own body as good as death, for he was 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, and never doubted God's promise in unbelief, but strong in faith gave honor to God in the firm conviction of his power to do what he had promised. I think that we can learn a lot from Abraham. We can see that faith holds on to God's promise, no matter what the circumstance, even if all human evidence is to the contrary, even then, faith will hold to God's promise. In hope, Abraham believed when there was no hope. And this doesn't mean that Abraham shut his eyes to the problem. It's very obvious that he saw exactly what the problems were to God in fulfilling his promise. He even saw that it was absurd, Sarah having a baby at 90 years old. Yet his faith did not weaken. His faith grew strong. Because when our own possibilities are crushed, then faith rules supreme. Faith, you see, does not rely on humanity. Faith relies on God and his promises. This is the way that faith acts. It is this same saving promise of God which is active in his church today. The sensibility of baptism and the Lord's Supper is not the foundation of faith. It is the promise of forgiveness which God has attached to these sacraments for us. Because of God's promise in these sacraments, our faith has a firm foundation of complete trust. This same promise unlocks the mystery of the Incarnation. Admittedly, all of the Incarnation is beyond our capacity to fully understand. Yet in faith, we don't close our eyes, we scrutinize the Incarnation, abandoning every other hope and hold only to Jesus Christ. Christ, who did die for crimes he did not commit. Crimes which are our sins. Christ, whose death and resurrection has everything to do with today. Christ, who has taken our burden and returned to us salvation. God continues to hold out to each of us that very gracious promise of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. This is the promise which through faith we can carry with us today. So we pursue our path in God's kingdom, we need never doubt, but strong in faith, giving honor to God in the firm conviction of His power to do what He has come. For the peace of God, which